Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Oh, well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight and hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And, of course, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And they'll get you on the air with us here this evening with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And let's go ahead and open this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much again for an opportunity to be on the air once more this evening. We just pray and ask that you would bless the program tonight. Use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing, encouragement. Somebody help us to point people to Christ, the things that we talk about this evening. And we just pray you bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wanted to talk about a couple things here tonight, and of course at the start, certainly our hearts, our prayers go out to the people down there in South Carolina, the church down there, and no doubt you've heard about the tragic shooting and the number of people killed, and it's just sad, and you know, there's a problem we have in America, and it's probably not the problem that you're thinking of a lot of times that some people are bringing out. The problem is, and there's been a common theme in a number of these shootings, and it's these young guys that basically they've got mental issues, and they're on these drugs that are altering mental state, and they begin causing these problems, and unfortunately, the gun, and we got to address the issue, the gun is only the tool. The real problem is not the gun. The real problem is the individuals that are mentally disturbed on the influence of these drugs, and it's causing them to do these things. And I agree with somebody else that pointed out another major problem is we're in a culture, a death culture today, that does not value life like it should. And these are the problems that result in this. And I saw a chart recently, and the president had said that none of the other developed nations in the developed world have this problem. That's just simply not true. I remember just a few months ago in France, a guy broke in, and it wasn't the guns that did it. It was the crazy Islamic theology that they believe that caused them to kill the Charlie Hebdo, I believe it was, shootings in Paris. And on again, there was the guy, I'm not going to go through a litany of these different things, but you can Google it. The United States, in terms of a per capita basis, really comes out kind of in the middle of gun massacres. And massacres like this have literally been going down in number over the past couple of decades, really. You say, well, how can we hear about them all the time? Well, part of that's 24-hour news, 24/7 news service, and plus these things make a lot more impact on the news when an airline goes down and people die in an airline crash. It gets a lot more coverage than people who die in an automobile crash, and people are dying in automobile crashes far, far, far more common than in airplane crashes. In fact, you're far, far safer in an airplane than in an automobile. I took a greater risk driving here from my home tonight to be on the radio than if I flew probably 1,000 air flights in the course of the year. So it's all what makes the news, I think, sometimes. Well, that's not entirely where I want to talk about tonight, though. We're going to talk about some other things. I just wanted to mention that. Certainly pray for the people down there. And pray for this young man. He's a young man that needs to know Christ as his Savior. And this is what happens when our nation turns away from Christ. And like I said, we develop a death culture. And we live in a world where Christians are called to be salt and light. We're to make a difference. Salt retards spoilage. Light pushes back the darkness. And that's what we're supposed to be doing in the world, being salt and light. And we're supposed to basically try to retard the spoilage in our society, to push back the darkness in the world around us. And we do that by being conformed to the image of Christ, as the Bible says, living for the Lord, being a witness for Him, being a testimony for Him. And unfortunately, all too often, what we're doing is we're abdicating our role. A lot of Christians have bowed out of politics, and as a result, the unsaved, as good people bow out of politics, we leave it to the wicked, and then we get upset when wicked people get elected to office, and we're not doing what we should. We should be out there. We should be involved. And again, at the risk of going on a slight rabbit trail here, we think about as elections come up, and this is an off year, and I work the elections in our community. When they have the elections, you go in, you vote, and you show your ID, and you sign the book, and you get your ballot and all that. That's what I do when elections come around. And, I see people who profess to be Christians who never show up during the primaries, who never show up during the off-year elections. And it breaks my heart. People suffered and died. We would have that right to vote. And Christians need to be involved. At the very least, you need to get registered to vote. You need to get out there, get informed as to who the candidates are, and then go and vote and encourage one another to go and vote. And then take it a step further. Get involved in your local county, whether you're in Summit County like I am, or Cuyahoga County like where I'm sitting right now, or Medina County, or Jogga, or Lake, or Ashtabula, or Lorain, or any of these counties in northeastern Ohio, or whether you're down in Virginia, or whether you're down in Florida, or whether you're in Delaware, wherever you live, you can get involved not only voting, but I'll guarantee if you contact your local county board of elections, or however it's set up in your state. Here in Ohio, we have the local county boards of election. If you contact them, I'll just about guarantee they're looking for people who will be willing to work the elections when the elections come around. And as a believer working in those elections, you can make a difference. You can make a big difference. I was noticing in our town where I work the election, we have four precincts. And each of those, we have three precincts, it used to be four, and of those three precincts, each one of them, the precinct election official, some places they're called the presiding judge or something like that. That's the person who's responsible for picking up the ballots and then overseeing the organization of the precinct, workers that day in the polling place, so that the ballots are distributed as the people come in, the people's IDs, we check them off, and also administer the oath of office and all that. And it's kind of heartening to see that each of the three precincts, the precinct election officer is a born-again Christian. And, taking a role, a leadership role, in being literally on the front lines of trying to assure a fair vote where people who are eligible to vote get the opportunity to vote. And also, that's the front lines of helping to prevent voter fraud. And rather than sit at home and complain, if you're a born-again Christian, why don't you go out, contact your board of elections, and you can do that this week. It's not too soon, because they start getting names together, people they can contact who will work the elections. And then they have training and to get you ready so they don't just throw you out there without anything to know. You can get involved, and you can work in your community, and you can make a difference. You can be salt, and you can be light in your local community. And maybe you want to take it a step further. You can get involved in your local political offices, in the county, at the county level even. You could even run for office. You could run township trustee, city council, county council, county trustees. You can run for school board. You can run for dog catcher. There's all kinds of things that you can do to get involved in your local community. And sometimes I think with some of these larger churches, you know, if the pastors were to encourage their people to get involved being salt and light in the local community and get some of the members of their churches running for local elected office, we could make a difference. I heard recently of a town in Texas where the pastor was challenged to go see some of the seminars showing what they were teaching for sex ed in the school. And I heard this past week. Apologize, I don't remember the exact town, but the pastor went. He was shocked, and he came back. He took notes. He began calling local radio and television stations. He began writing letters to the newspaper, and then they began talking about it at the church. And the end result was a number of members of his church ran for city council and also for the local school board. And the local school board and the city council became dominated by members of this one local church. They actually had the majority on the school board. They had the majority on the city council as a result of that. And as a result, they threw basically this pornographic course out of the school, and they began exerting a godly influence in the local school and in the local community. They began exercising their God-given role as salt and light in the community. And let me encourage you to do that as we approach this summer, today being the first day of summer, and also Father's Day. And I'd be remiss if I didn't wish the fathers that are listening today a happy Father's Day. And certainly, fathers, you should be taking the leadership role in your family, leading your family, getting them involved in church, getting them involved in opportunities to serve the Lord, making sure your children, your family have opportunities to learn about Jesus and hear the gospel message. And, you know, you're the one that God holds responsible in your family for the spiritual welfare of your family. And too many fathers today have abdicated that role. And you look at a lot of churches, it's women and children. Women and children for the most part. And the only men are either the children or the elderly. And there's no young men involved. There's no fathers involved in the spiritual upbringing of our families, in our churches. And that's wrong. Fathers should be at the lead, at the forefront of leading their families in worship and bringing them to church and making sure that their children can grow up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and teaching them. Joshua was challenged to do that in the book of Joshua, to teach them and to talk about the things of God. Well, let me encourage you to do that on Father's Day. Well, I guess saying all of that, I can finally get around to actually where I was going with this sort of monologue here in the first place. And let me remind you that you can give us a call. 888-677-9673. That's a toll-free number. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, the telephone lines are open. You can give us a call anywhere you might be listening across the U.S. We're on in several stations and in a couple different locations, plus we're on the Internet, and people listen. In fact, speaking of the Internet, you can always look us up at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you find out more information about the program, about myself, about our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And you can find all that at livewithpastoral.com. There's also a link there to our Facebook page. If you're on Facebook, visit livewithpastoral.com. Click on the link there on the upper right-hand corner of the page. You'll find that, and that'll take you to our Facebook page. And there's a number of things there available for you to look at as well. But wanted to talk about something. This is something that's come up several times over the past few weeks, both on our Sunday night program and also on Friday afternoons Some places you don't get to hear this, but on Friday afternoons we're on from 1:30 in the afternoon until 2 o'clock with a half-hour program, shorter version of this program, but it's also a live call-in program, talk about a number of different things. And those programs, by the way, as well as our Sunday night programs, are all available on our livewithpastoral.com website as an MP3 file, and you can listen to those, or if you miss one, you can listen to it there. But we've had this kind of reoccurring thing lately in conspiracies, and I've mentioned in the past, and I want to turn back there again to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and in verse or chapter number 2 here, and verse number 6, where it says, "And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in this time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, and only he who now letteth," and that "let" right there is the same word translated "withholdeth" in the previous verse, and so that tells us that it's being used in the sense of restraining, not meaning that they're renting something out, like we use the word to let out an apartment, or to permit something, like "I'll let you do that." So only he who now letteth, meaning hinder or restrain, will let or hinder or restrain until he be taken out of the way. And this tells us that the master conspirator, and I've said this before, is Satan. He's alive and well. He's working on planet Earth. And he backs various things from time to time. And I've had some people say, "Well, you don't believe in conspiracy theories or conspiracies." No, I absolutely do believe in conspiracies. There's quite a number of them. Some have been somewhat successful. Some have been somewhat persistent. There was a man by the name of Cecil Rhodes in Great Britain who thought that if they established a particular scholarship-type program, they could bring promising young scholars from around various parts of the world to Britain and educate them in Britain and then send them back, and they would be predisposed to support the British and British ideals. And so he formed a particular program, and we call them Rhodes Scholars today. It's one of the genesis of that. It was a conspiracy. And as I've mentioned before, Queen Victoria in the 1800s wanted to take over the royal houses of Europe. And she was successful in placing her descendants on many of the royal house or thrones of Europe. At the time of World War I, for instance, the King of England, the Tsar's wife in Russia, and the Kaiser of Germany were all first cousins. They were all the grandchildren of Queen Victoria. And so you can see that she was somewhat successful there. And so there's a number of those things there, but I wanted to point something out. Somebody at church gave me a catalog, and it's a catalog where you can get, any conspiracy theory that you want is available in this catalog. And I noticed something going through this. And let me just share this with you here. And I've got a caller calling in, so I'll try to make this quick, because there's a theme that I found here. And as you start in the beginning of the catalog, you get some of the stuff that, in some cases, there's a gem of truth in it. And the best conspiracy has a kernel of truth in it. Agenda 21s and things like that. Then it gets into chemtrails and vaccines and things of that nature. But as you go through this, then you start getting into things saying that Israel is not a legitimate state. They stole it from the Palestinians. And, of course, that's a whole other subject. And that the Jews are not really Jews, and they're imposters. And then as you go further in, you find out the Holocaust never happened. Hitler was actually a good guy that suffered from bad revisionist history at the hands of these evil Zionist Jews. And then the United States, as you go further in, becomes the ultimate expression of evil in the world. And then you go further into this. This is where these conspiracy theories head. And I know, I've followed these since the 1970s. And then you get from there, you start getting into the aliens that walk among us and the secret bases with the aliens and the reptilians and the grays and the different things. And then you start getting into things such as, not only are the Jews not legitimate, but Christianity is a hoax, the Bible is a fake, and Jesus didn't die on the cross, and the church was actually an invention of Rome, and then they began to hide the truth about reincarnation, and then it starts getting into all kinds of New Agey stuff until you get to the back of the catalog, and you got things like evolving beyond fear to a world of peace and abundance, the rapture plot, dimensions in parapsychology. You've got the Luxor, mystery school symbology exposed. You've got another one, the Maya of eternal time. Other things talking about the Aztecs and the Mayans and all this kind of, what you get into is a lot of New Age teaching. And here's my thought, and I'm going to throw this out there, because the mystery of iniquity is already at work in the world. I think the devil gets people caught up in these things and leads them, when he gets them hooked, leads them into rejection of the Bible, a rejection of the gospel, and he's trying to get them set up for the one world government, all the while they think they're fighting the one world government. I think some of these conspiracies are actually more of a conspiracy, the ones behind it, than the conspiracies themselves. Well, I wanted to share that with you. We've got a caller, and we've got Donald in Florida calling. Donald, welcome to the program tonight.
Hello.
Hi, thank you for waiting.
Oh, my pleasure. Mr. Davis, I have a question. I was wondering, what is the significance in the number 40 in the Old Testament and the New Testament?
All right.
Noah's Ark, it rained for 40 days, 40 nights. Moses went up to Mount Sinai for 40 days, 40 nights.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went to the promised land. It took 40 years.
Right.
Jesus went out and confronted the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. And I just, you know, after all these years, I was just so curious why the number 40 appears so often.
Well, essentially, 40 is a significant of judgment in the Bible. And, you know, the judgment on the world for their rejection of God, with Noah's flood, you had the rain for 40 days and 40 nights. The Hebrews, when they left Egypt, they refused to go in the promised land, and God had them wander in the wilderness for 40 days. So there's an association with judgment there. And also, I think you can associate it with a time of trial, because those were trying times, obviously, but Jesus was not being judged, obviously, when he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. But it was a trial that Jesus went through. And so I think you do see that. You see either judgment or trial involved with that concept of the 40. There are certain things.
That literally, it doesn't mean 40 years or 40
days? Oh, no, it is exactly 40 years or 40 days or 40 nights. The number is literal. But the number of years or the number of days or whatever that was used, in that was chosen, you know, the reason Jesus fasted for 40 days was because 40 represents that judgment and trial concept. And so he fasted. He went through that trial where he was, you know, he was tempted. The flesh became weak during that time. Israel wandered in the wilderness for literally 40 years. But that was also because of a judgment on them because of their rejection of the promise.
Why couldn't it have been 37 years?
It could have been, but God chose 40 because 40 represented judgment or trial.
Okay, I've been running this for, oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah, no, that's why we do the program.
Since I was 5 years old. You know, I kept reading it in the Bible and hearing it. And I listen to your program every week.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Actually, I lived in Sherman Falls for a few years.
Oh, okay. I was just there actually last week.
Yeah, how's the weather?
Pardon?
Is the weather getting warmer for you guys?
Oh, well, yeah, it's been warm and muggy, kind of tropical here today.
Oh, I could talk about that all night with the winter of 76 or 77.
Oh, yes. Well, you would remember that's when the ice age was coming.
Excuse me?
That's when the ice age was coming, remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That was, I grew up here, and I remember that. I remember they took a bulldozer and bulldozed our road open. I remember walking to the bus stop in a canyon.
There was originally I was from New Jersey, and I moved to the Cleveland area there, you know, Sugar Falls, Manaway, Ravenna.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I grew up in Richfield. My wife's from northern Kentucky, and she didn't know what a snow squall was until she came up here. And
well, exactly, yeah, because
one.
In New Jersey, I thought we got some bad snow there, and then all of a sudden, you know, I moved to Ohio, and I said, now I know what snow really is.
Yeah. And you move from here to Erie, Pennsylvania, or Buffalo, New York, and then you say, now I really know what snow is. So
exactly, exactly.
It's something else. But, hey, I appreciate your call there tonight, Donald. I appreciate that. And numbers are interesting, and we don't want to read too much into the numbers sometimes because we can get carried away with that.
Yeah, exactly.
But there are some things, like five, for instance. You had mentioned number five, you know, being 5 years old. Five is typically the number of grace in the Bible. Six is oftentimes the number of man. That's why it's incorporated into the Antichrist number 666, which is kind of like an alternative to the number of perfection or completion, which is seven. And so you have the Trinity, the holy 777, as opposed to the 666 of the Antichrist. And so it's, numbers can be interesting, but we have to keep them in perspective, obviously. So.
Yeah, I thought there was a certain significance. I couldn't find it anywhere in the Bible that related to the number 40. And I said, for the last 6 months or maybe possibly a year, I said, I have to call Pastor Davis. I have to call him. Because I kept hearing you every Sunday say, call me. And I'm thinking, well, I'll never get through this 55 million people, But I said, I'll give it a try,
Right.
And, thank God that I got through. And
okay.
I
appreciate that.
Big question for the last 60 years of my life.
Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. and encourage you to give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I also encourage you to visit us at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And, of course, we're brought to you by our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church of Richfield, Ohio. You can find out about that at our website, livewithpastoral.com. And also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio, the home of the homemade pizza. If you're looking for a good pizza here in the northeast, in the Cleveland area, let me encourage you to contact East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 for takeout or delivery. That's 216-341-9100. And you can mention Live with Pastor Al and get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza, pickup or delivery, 216-341-9100. They're located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, or perhaps adding pizza to an existing restaurant, and you're looking for a great pizza recipe, well, I'm kind of partial to the pizza there at East Coast Pizza. I think it's the best pizza I've ever had. You can contact Gus at East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus, and he can help you get set up in your own pizza business. You don't have to be in Cleveland for that. You don't have to be in Akron for that. You don't even have to be in Ohio for that. So let me encourage you to call them. East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. They're also linked to at live@pastoral.com. Well, we're going to get back to our program here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you. 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And certainly when we look at all that's happening in the world around us, I wanted to jump to another portion here in the first half of the program. I was attempting to outline the idea that we're called to be salt and light in the world. We're supposed to do what salt does as believers. We're supposed to retard the spoilage of the culture around us. We're supposed to do what light does as believers. We're supposed to push back the spiritual darkness around us and try to encourage believers to get involved. Get involved in your local community. Get involved with helping with the elections. Your county board of election is probably looking for people to help. You can get involved. You can get involved in all manner of things. You can run for offices. We as Christians ought to be doing that. And God works through us. The Holy Spirit works through us as believers. As salt and light in the world, He works through us to hinder the devil's efforts to bring about what a lot of people call the New World Order, or as the Bible talks about, the mystery of iniquity in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. And it's being kept at bay right now by the Holy Spirit working through us. And so we need to be busy. Now, the Holy Spirit's current ministry is going to come to an end. And it says that there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that he's going to be taken out of the way. And that means his ministry currently is going to come to an end. And then it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. When the Holy Spirit in his current ministry is taken away from the world, that's when the believers are going to go out of the world. And that's the time that the mystery of iniquity is going to come to fruition. The devil will be able to bring in the Antichrist, the son of perdition, as he's called there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the man of sin, the son of perdition in verse 3. He will be brought to the forefront, and this is where the one world government will come into power. A lot of people worry so much about that today, and they lose focus of the fact that we're supposed to be salt and light in the world. And as we're doing that, God working through us, through His Spirit, is going to keep this from happening. But when we're caught out of the world, and that's why I find it kind of interesting that as you start getting to this conspiracy stuff, they deny the rapture, or they certainly deny the catching away of the believers prior to the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Or, I'm sorry, the revelation of the Antichrist. And the Bible tells us during the first half of the tribulation, it's a time of wrath, God's wrath on the world. You can see that over in Revelation, Revelation chapter 6. Let me turn over here. This is during the first half of the tribulation. And I was reviewing some material online recently by some people who have been lured down, you know, the chemtrail path into some of these conspiracies that take you away from the Word of God, that take you away from believing God's Word, and get you caught up with trying to identify the latest thing that the devil is up to when he's actually got you running in circles. But in Revelation chapter number 6, and I was reading in this one site, they said that the idea that the church won't go through the first half of the tribulation is a satanic plot. And so they say we're going to be taken away before the wrath of God comes on the world, because over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9 it says, "For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." And yet, during the opening of the sealed book, during the first half of the tribulation, we see in Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 15, it says, "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks," notice what they say, "fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand?" Revelation chapter 6 identifies the sealed judgments as the wrath of God. The people who were suffering from the sealed judgments in the first half of the tribulation, they say that it's the wrath of God, the wrath of the Lamb. The Lamb of God is Jesus Christ. Jesus is God. And it's talking about the great day of His wrath. My Bible plainly says, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath." It's talking about the wrath of God on a world that's rejected Him. And that's why when the Holy Spirit, God said He'll never leave us nor forsake us, when you trust Christ as your Savior today, immediately, you don't have to wait for it, you don't have to hold out for it, you don't have to beg God for it, but immediately upon your trusting Christ as your Savior, when your sins are forgiven, immediately the Holy Ghost comes into your heart. You become immediately the temple of the Holy Spirit, as the Bible says. Immediately we belong to Him, and His Spirit is in us. That's an immediate thing. And the Bible says if we have not the Spirit of Christ, we're none of His. And so we receive Him immediately upon salvation. I was going to turn to that verse there, and I missed the page here. I'll get back to here in just a minute. But I just wanted to mention that the Holy Spirit who comes upon us at the moment of salvation, He never is going to leave us nor forsake us. So when the Holy Spirit who is working through us to keep the mystery of iniquity at bay is removed from the world so the Antichrist can come on the scene, obviously then we're going to go with Him, and we're going to be caught up, the Bible says, to meet Him in the air. The Bible says here in Romans chapter number 6. Let me see, take a look down here where I was going to here. In Romans chapter number 6, he says in verse number 4, therefore we are buried with them by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. This is talking about what happens when we trust Christ as our Savior. We're no longer the servants of sin. The judgment for sin in our life has been taken over. Paid for by Christ. Our sin was judged. We no longer come under the wrath of God. And we read over in Romans chapter 8 and in verse number 9, it says, but you're not in the flesh. This is talking of believers, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Did you catch what that's saying? You have to have the Holy Spirit in you. You cannot be saved if the Spirit of Christ is not in you. And that's what he's saying there in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 9. The Spirit of Christ, he's in you. You receive him at the moment of salvation. If you did not get the Holy Spirit in you, you weren't saved in the first place. So you don't have to hold out and beg God to give you his Spirit. Now, you may want to be filled with the Spirit. That's something entirely different. And I've used this example before. I'm sitting in this building where the radio station is, or the studio is. I am in this building. This building has received me. But I do not fill this building. I do not have liberty to go to every part of this building. And the Holy Spirit, oftentimes, as a believer, we restrict him. We say, well, Lord, stay in this part of my life, but don't bother this part. I want you with me when I go to church on Sunday. I want you with me when I have some trouble or some difficulties, but I don't want you with me when I choose what television program to watch. I don't want you with me when I choose what to listen to. Remember, David said, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. He was saying to God, I want you with me in that area. And a lot of times we don't want God there. We want to restrict the operation of the Holy Spirit in our life. We need him to fill us so that we can make a difference. And as we have the Holy Spirit in our life, and we're not appointed under wrath. So what does the Bible say? And let me give out the phone numbers here, because I can get talking being a pastor. I can get talking and not give out the numbers. But if you want to jump in, join in the conversation here with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Back to 1 Thessalonians, and in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul is writing about the catching away of the believers. And he starts in verse 13. He says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. He's talking to believers concerning them which are asleep. He's talking about other believers that have already passed away. That's the euphemism, them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now, prevent. That's a word there that typically today we would interpret that to mean to hinder. Well, if you look in a dictionary, you don't have to look in an ancient dictionary, you look in current dictionaries, you'll find that one of the definitions for prevent has to do with to precede or to go before. And so this particular usage here, it's not talking about to hinder, it's talking about going before. So in a sense, you could say that we would not go before them which are asleep. It's not about the time frame of the rapture, the way things happen. It says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. That's the first thing. Jesus is in heaven. He ascended up into heaven. He's going to come down. The Bible says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, wait a minute. Earlier, he said that in verse 14, that when Jesus comes, he'll bring those that have died with him. Well, how are they going to rise from the ground, from the grave, if he's bringing them with them in heaven? Well, the solution is very, very easy, really, here. Some people have misunderstood this. There are people who teach soul sleep, and that's that when you die, you sleep in the grave until the resurrection. The Bible does not teach that. I understand where they get it. I've studied that out, and the Bible does not teach that. Paul had once said that he would rather die and go to be with the Lord. He said that would be gain, but he said it was more needful for him to stay because that way he could minister to our needs. And he was caught between those two conflicting desires. There would have been no conflict there if Paul taught soul sleep and believed in soul sleep, because he would have wanted to stay alive as long as possible, knowing that when he died, he would sleep and do nothing until the resurrection. But instead, he understood that, just like he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, that for the believer, when you die, absent from the body, and here's the key, absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. Jesus is in heaven. In John chapter 14, he said that he's going to heaven, and that he said that he's going there to prepare a place for us, and that he's going to come again and receive us unto himself. So Jesus comes from heaven with the dead in Christ that have already died. So what's this business about them the dead in Christ rising first? You have a body, you have a soul, you have a spirit. Every human being has a body, a soul, and a spirit. When you trust Christ as your Savior, your spirit is made new in Christ, and you have a new living spirit, a creation of God, and you have a soul. The spirit is how you interact with God. The soul is your mind, your personality, your intellect, your emotion, and then you have a body. And that's because Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says we're created in the image of God. And in Genesis chapter 2, he says he took the dust of the earth, he formed the body of Adam, and that body would correspond to Jesus Christ, God the Son, who is the physical manifestation of God. And then he became a living soul. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And, of course, breath and spirit are synonymous in the scriptures often. And so that would signify the creation of your spirit and the Holy Spirit of God. That's the corresponding portion there of the Godhead. And then he became a living soul. That's your personality, emotion, will, intellect, all of that. And that corresponds to God the Father. And Jesus, in his earthly ministry, was in subjection to the Father, showing that us, in our ministry here in this world, our flesh needs to be in subjection to our soul, and our soul needs to be led by the Spirit. And we could talk about that some more, but when we get to this point in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when somebody has died, soul and spirit have gone on to be with the Lord in heaven. The body has gone into the grave. So when the dead in Christ come with him, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him, that's the soul and the spirit. Then when we get to verse 16, and he says, the dead in Christ shall rise first, that's the body being resurrected. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's those of us who are alive at the time who have not died. That's when the Holy Spirit in his current ministry is taken up out of the world. And since he's not going to leave us or forsake us, we go with him. And when we're caught up out of the world, the Bible says we meet those, the dead in Christ, that preceded us. They went first, we didn't precede them. And we meet them, and we meet the Lord in the air, and he says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing. In fact, it's so wonderful, he says in the next verse, verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Those are comforting words. If you have a loved one that has trusted Christ as their Savior and they've died, their soul and spirit is in heaven with the Lord right now. Their body may rest in a grave somewhere here on earth, but their soul and their spirit is in heaven. One day, with a shout and the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, that dead body is going to be resurrected, turned into a new body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, last half of the chapter, Paul writes about how this mortal puts on immortality, this corruptible puts on incorruption, and that we're changed, and we're changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and we become like the resurrected Christ. We have a new body, a body of flesh and bone without a sin nature. Right now, we have a sin nature in this flesh. And it causes us oftentimes to do things that we shouldn't do and hinders us from doing things that we should do. And we're going to be changed in a moment, a glorified body, no sin nature. The dead in Christ first, then we which are alive and remain will be caught up to be with them. We'll be with the Lord in the air. Comfort one another with these words, he said. That's comforting. Your dead loved ones that died with faith in Christ, they're not moldering in a grave. Completely, their body might be, their soul and spirit with the Lord. And one day, their body is going to be resurrected. And we too are going to be caught up to be with them in the Lord. I'm hoping to be alive when the rapture takes place. I think we're in that terminal generation myself. And here's why. We go into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. But he's talking about times and the seasons here. And he says, for when they say peace and safety, and sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, talking to believers, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. In other words, the unsaved world, the world that doesn't know Christ, the world, and they don't know what the Bible says. It's going to come as a surprise to them. But for those of us who are born again, those of us that have trusted Christ as our Savior, he says we're not in darkness. That day should not overtake us as a thief. In other words, it shouldn't catch us unawares. He says in verse 5, you're the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. We're supposed to be watching and waiting. We're supposed to be sober-minded. And as we watch and wait, he continues, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. And then he says here in verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And here it is again in verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. These are written to comfort us, to encourage us. I'm not worried about the Antichrist suddenly springing on the scene with me being unawares. I don't plan to be here. I'm going to be gone. The Antichrist comes as a part of the wrath of God upon the world. I believe that's the first seal of the seven sealed book. I don't plan to be here. And if you trust Christ as your Savior, you don't have to be here either. Now, sure, some people will come to Christ during the tribulation. That's true. But they're going to go through an intense time of suffering and trial and tribulation. But God doesn't want us to go through that. I want to thank you for listening. Join us again next week. God bless and have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.